We continue today with our study in Acts, and we are going to be, over the next few weeks, looking at some of the actions of the Apostle Peter. And Peter, if you may remember a few weeks ago, he was out and healing and preaching in the Sanhedrin. The leaders brought him in, and they told him, don't do that anymore. And Peter, in true kind of Peter fashion, he doesn't listen to him. And he says to them, what's better, to do what God tells me to do or what you tell me? Well, I'm going to do what he tells me to do, and I'll let you be the judge. Well, he continues to preach and continues with the other apostles to serve and to build the church there in Jerusalem. And he kind of starts to go out on his own. And if you will, I kind of can imagine Peter, he kind of starts getting a little rock star status. We read in Acts chapter 9 that he was out and a place called Joppa, and there was a person who had been laying there paralyzed for over 8 years, and he walks up and he heals them. Everybody's amazed. And they're like, well, you probably can't do much, but there's this other lady, her name is Tabitha, and she died, and she's been so faithful to the believers, and could you go and just pray with the family? And he goes to the wake, the funeral, and he tells everybody to leave the room, and he lays down on next to this lady, and he prays, and he looks at her, and he says, Tabitha, get up, and she gets up and walks out. And so here he is, Peter, right? So this is Peter, right? This is the guy who's telling Jesus, like, wherever you go, I'm going, right? He's the one who says, no matter what happens, I'm always the first to talk. I'm always the first to act. And he is in Joppa, and the people said, why don't you come? They've begged him, won't you stay and hang out with us for a while? And so he's hanging out with a guy named Simon. He's a tanner. And this is where we pick him up in Acts chapter 10, if you have your Bibles, turn with me. Starting in verse 1. Now, this story about Peter kind of gets a little side note. Don't you love it in the movies? Now, you know, most of you know that I like movies, right? And if you watch many movies or TV shows, don't you always like when there's like the main actions going on? And then they just have like this little clip, like cut scene, two people, random place, have a conversation. And you're like, why did they do that? And then like later in the movie or the show, like those people become a part of the main big story. And you're like, oh, well, they stole it from the Bible. Because that's exactly what the Bible did. Acts chapter 9, Peter is healing the sick and he's raising the dead, and he is on fire. Beginning of chapter 10, we get this little window. In Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. Now, there's a couple of things. I mean, this really is the main point, but just stop for a second. It made me stop this week whenever I saw this passage and I was preparing for the sermon, because I thought, does my offerings Do my prayers, do my acts get mentioned before God? Boy, is that a challenge to ourselves? To think, like, we do something that God notices it. Now, yeah, we can give you the, I'll give you the Sunday school answer, right? So God knows everything. He watches everything. So yes, he does know. But to think that this man, who's not Jewish, he's not one of the apostles, he's a Roman soldier, was so devoted to God that an angel comes and says, hey, God notices what you're doing. Wouldn't that be awesome? It would be. Of course, I would probably respond the same as this, as Cornelius did. He stared at him in fear. This is a Roman soldier, and it said he stared at him in fear. Can you imagine if you were in prayer and an angel shows up? Not the little angel on the card, you know, at Christmas. The one in the diaper and the flowing ribbon thing. Like a real angel with all the holiness and righteousness of God. And he says, go and get Simon. All right, director's cut, come back, swipe scene, back to Peter. Chapter 9. What's going on with Peter? Well, Peter, he's at noon the following day meaning the day that he was out raising the dead, just another day. He was approaching the city. Peter went up to the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice called to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him on a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And he goes on to say this three times. Now, to give a kind of a background, what does this mean? Is that this is, he's telling him to eat some things that in the Old Testament, according to Jewish law, they weren't supposed to eat. Verse 19, while Peter was still thinking about this vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, there are three men who are looking for you. Go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them. And who shows up but these two servants and the soldier that Cornelius sent and says, our master Cornelius is requesting that you come back with us. And Peter says, I will do that. Why don't you stay, we're going to eat, and then let's go. I want to kind of go back just real quick and look at a couple of things that I see in this passage. Number one is that God initiates the spread of the gospel. Because what we talked about in the Good News series, talking about the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the message of Jesus Christ while he was here on earth, it is that message that's now being spread out across the Roman countryside in Acts. The foundation of the church is the gospel, and it's God's initiative to spread the gospel. In Acts chapter 10, verse 3, it says that he sent Cornelius a vision. And it is important to note that he was a God-fearing man. Cornelius worshiped God as a Roman, not as a Jewish convert. Now, that's interesting to note because there were others. You may remember that I talked about how that in Jerusalem, in the church, that there were these Hellenistic Jews and the Hebraic Jews, the Jewish Jews. Within the culture of Judaism, there were those who were real Jews and then the kind of like, you became Jewish. But Cornelius is neither. He is Roman. He is a totally different kind of person. To kind of give you a background would tell you just a snapshot of what a centurion would look like. There is a historian, an ancient Roman historian in the book Histories. They're very original in the title there. He wrote this about the first century. Speaking of centurions, they, the leaders of Rome, wish that centurions not so much be venturesome and daredevil as natural leaders. They want them to lead, but not, you know, be creative. Don't come up with your own ideas. But they want them to be a steady and sedate spirit. They do not desire them so much to be men who will initiate attacks and open the battle, but men who will hold their ground when hard-pressed and be ready to die at their post. That's the kind of man that Cornelius was. Give him an order to stand, and he will stand. He was not a man who was easily rattled, but yet he says he looked at him and stared at fear, with fear at this angel. He worshiped God and understood authority. He was a man who, when he heard an order, he obeyed. So when the angel said to him, "Go and get Peter," he went to get Peter. So Cornelius is the mechanism, if you will, that God is using to instigate and introduce a new era. Up until this point, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, had stayed in Jerusalem and in Judea and amongst mostly just the Jews. But God has a way to kind of poke the hornet's nest, so to speak, to get things stirred up. And God will do that every once in a while. He is introducing a new covenant. It's the second thing that we see. There is a new covenant, and with this new covenant, there is new rules. Peter is there. He's having this vision where it says he saw heaven open and something like a sheet brought down with these animals. Now, Matthew 9:17 says this. Jesus is teaching the disciples about his new message, his message of the new covenant. And he says, "I cannot put new wine in old wineskin." It won't work. I've got to have a new paradigm. And Jesus told his disciples that. And here is one of them right here, Peter, who was there and said things like, "Who else has the words of life but you, God? I will follow you no matter what. I will go wherever you want me to go." And God is telling him, "I'm about to do something different. I want you to walk away from the box that you've lived in, and I want you to open yourself up to a whole new world." The Old Testament law set things in apart because they wanted to mark them as special. And we studied before in the study of the feast and the festivals and how God would do specific things with food, with sleep habits, with everything, just mundane things in your life. So he would teach the Jews about spiritual things. So he made them think before they ate. You don't just grab an animal and eat it. He made them think. "I want you to understand where this food is coming from and who blessed you with it and who is in control. Who is the creator of that animal that sustains you and feeds you? I want you to understand it's not the animal that sustains you and feeds you. It is God. It is I who made the animal that sustains you and feeds you." He set that apart. But now he has shifted and he says, "I want you to now say to yourself, it's okay." Now imagine that you're a Jew and you've never had bacon. Now for some of you, bacon's not a thing. There's something broken in your DNA. But for the rest of us, bacon, right? Everything. Wrap bacon around anything. You put bacon around bacon, it makes bacon better. He's saying, and I don't, it doesn't describe this, but I wonder, like, was that presented? Did God bring down on this sheet and there's like bacon? Do you know how when you smell bacon, you got to eat it? It's like movie popcorn. And God presents this to him, and Peter, in traditional Peter style, trying to stand up. "No, I won't do it. You're testing me, I know, right?" This is one of those 7x7 press down, flowing over, you got a math problem. God's like, "No, look, Just eat the food. I've got a new thing going. I've got a new covenant. So he gets up, and sure enough, these men come. And these men say, we need you to come with us. And so he does. In verse 24, it says that they the following day that they arrived in Caesarea. And Cornelius was expecting them. He had called together his relatives and close friends. He brought out his whole family. Like, Peter's coming. Peter is coming and he's bringing a word from God. I want everybody to hear this. Verse 25, as Peter entered into the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up and stand up and say, I am only a man myself. Again, I want to just kind of just picture who we're talking about. This is Cornelius. So he's a centurion. That means he has underneath him about 100 Roman soldiers that when he tells them to jump, they ask how high. When he says, take that hill, they take the hill or die. He says, stand right there, don't move. They stand there until he comes back. He sees this man of God and he falls at his feet, humbled. Verse 27, while talking with them, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, this is so Peter, he said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. If I may translate, Peter's saying, yo, you're lucky that I came, right? I've been healing sick and raising dead. I am a disciple. I walked on water. And I'm a good Jew, and I shouldn't be here with you. But God has this amazing thing that he uses our ignorance and arrogance. And even in our reluctant obedience, he can use it to spread the gospel. That's the third thing that I see in this passage. God can use even our reluctant obedience. He goes in and he starts to talk with them. It reminds me of the story of the obedient son in Matthew chapter 21. Jesus tells a parable that there was two sons. And the father said to the first son, go and work in the field. And the son says, okay. And then he goes back and just lays down, doesn't do anything. But after a while, he kind of feels guilty. So he gets up and he goes and does what he's supposed to do. The second son, he says, will you do it? And he said, yeah, I'll go out in the field right now. And he acts like he's going out in the field, but really he dodges it and kind of goes sits under a tree all day and does nothing. Which one was most obedient? The one who didn't first act but eventually did? Or the one who said, yeah, I'll do it, but didn't really do it. Of course, all the people there was like, well, it's the guy who actually did it. So even in Peter's kind of arrogant status and his stance of like, you know that as a good Jew, I'm not supposed to be here, right? But there's this whole like sheet and food and came and like an angel told me I should probably go with you guys. So since God told me, have you ever heard those things? Well, since God told me I'm supposed to love you, I guess I will love you. Come on, let's go do this. Since God says I'm supposed to, you know, work in children's ministry, I guess. I'll go work in children's ministry. I guess I'll help put the chairs up this week. You know, because God says, you know, do everything to the Lord. But God is so amazing and so powerful, even in our own reluctant obedience, he will use that to glorify himself. And he does so with Peter. Peter comes in and he says, you're well aware, it's against the law. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. Now, I can't imagine that Peter was doing this, but I kind of have this picture of Peter somehow patting himself on the back. I've come and done this. Now, may I ask why you sent me? God is still using him, though. Because here's what Cornelius does. Cornelius shifts it back. He kind of gets in Peter's face and he tells Peter the story of why he brought him. He answered, 3 days ago I was in my house praying at this very hour, and 3 p.m. suddenly a man in shining clothing stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the house of Simon the tanner. So I sent for you immediately. It was good of you to come. See, it's good that you came. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Jesus said in John 14:23, anyone who loves me will obey me. Anyone who loves me will obey me. And I wonder if in that moment it clicks in Peter's head. Here is a man who obviously was visited by the Lord. He received a vision from an angel, just like I did. But this man immediately acted upon it and acted in a way that he was anticipating a blessing to come. Because why do we know that? Because Cornelius went and got his friends and family, and he brings them into the house. He's waiting, anticipating a word from God, a movement from God. What was Peter's attitude? I shouldn't really be here, but this angel showed up. Okay, I guess I'll come. I wonder if Peter felt any shame in that moment. Here is a Roman, a Gentile, a non-Jew who is more fervent in his obedience to God. And in that moment, it does click with Peter because he says this in verse 34. Peter began to speak, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. Proverbs 9:10 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Cornelius showed wisdom in this moment. He showed wisdom in his obedience to God. He showed wisdom even when the disciple, the apostle, showed foolishness. The Bible also tells us in Proverbs that the ways of a man seem right to him, but the ends therein lead to death, that they are foolishness. In Peter's own mind, Peter was notorious for doing his own thing, having an opinion about things. But here is Cornelius, who used wisdom and submitted himself to the Lord. He was one who did what is right. Psalm 106:3 says, blessed are those who act justly and who always does right. Cornelius was a blessing. Cornelius did what was right. He obeyed the Lord. He did so with fervent, with excitement. So what is the takeaway from today? I believe the takeaway from today is this. We must be prepared to accept others who are different into the church. That was the message that Peter received by this vision. There are things that you thought were unclean. Now, Peter, will you get up and go and have some bacon? Oh, I don't know if I can do that. If you can't handle that, what are you going to do when I send you over to this Roman centurion who's a Gentile, a pagan? And I'm going to tell you what, he is a part of the family of God. He is a part of your church, and I'm going to bring him in. Peter, how are you going to handle that? What does that look for us? What's our forbidden bacon? For each one of us, it may be different. It may be an age thing. It may be a race thing. It may be a perceived perception or prejudice that you hold that you don't realize that you do. It may be a denominational thing. Oh, they are fill in the blank. I know what that means. But Peter's vision, God's message, even to today, is this. We have to be ready to accept everyone. Galatians 3:28 tells us this. We are all one. O-N-E. One in Jesus Christ. And the body of Christ is diverse and it is unique and it is going to look different and sound different and be different. And as we grow as a church and as a body, there will be differences. But we are all one in Jesus Christ. What does a Jewish fisherman have in common with a Roman Italian regiment centurion? Absolutely nothing. One received probably the most basic of education and at a young age was sent into an apprenticeship and became a fisherman, much like the rest of his family and the other men in this community. The other learned to read and write multiple languages, learned stratagems, learned how to lead, lived in a home that was large enough that there would have be multiple families, that there would be servants. He had command over the lives of hundreds. There could be no two more opposite people, but they come together because we are one in Jesus Christ. What is, if God was to lower a sheet today and on that sheet show you, take, eat, accept, what would be on that sheet for you? Help us all to grow by every one of you and myself included learning to deal with what's on our sheet, to accept it, and to praise God for it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are challenged by Peter's own hubris that he had it all under control, that he knew the law and the rules and was going to obey them. But God, help us that while we are faithful to you, to follow you, and even in, when you lead into new areas, and areas that may push us out of our comfort zone, may introduce things into our lives that otherwise we probably would not be squeamish to go into. But God, I pray that we do that if it's your leadership. And God, may we act like Cornelius. May we be faithful and just. And may we act with excitement and immediacy when you ask us. Let us not hesitate or be reluctant. And may we do that so that we are all one in Christ, moving forward, the body growing, developing, bringing glory and praise to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.